This episode is brought to you by Animation Aficionados. We love animation. For the love of the media, every week we have a roundtable discussion. You're welcome to join us at animationaficionados.com.
From around the globe, this is Web Fiction World.
Hello, and welcome to Web Fiction World, Episode 6. I am MCM, and I am here without Anna, and I'm a little scared. And this week, we have an excellent guest. It's Aaron Klitsky, who is the author of Epsilon, Broken Stars, and Awakenings, and just is a generally all-around wonderful person. So, hello, Aaron.
Hi.
So, I know there's usually a structure to the show, and this week, just pretend that doesn't exist because I suck at structure. So, what we're going to be doing first is actually talking to Erin about her work, and then we'll take a little bit of a break, and we will have a really engaging conversation about why unicorns don't write web fiction. And so, yes. Anyway, let's get into it. Erin, I know that you're writing something for Web Series Writing Month this month. How's that going?
Oh, I'm epic fail. That's all I can say. I have 12 entries written on a goal of 35, and it's I don't think 35 is going to happen.
You think maybe you might like have a burst of productivity in the next, what, like 4 days?
Maybe. It depends on how the evening goes and how the next few days go. But I really don't know. Because my goal was to get all of my updates through, I think, to the beginning of October done. But I ended up working so intensely on Awakenings Chapter 9, which ended up being, I think, 15 entries long. I just didn't, I couldn't push as much out as I wanted to because all of those entries ended up being longer than anticipated.
Yeah, I know the feeling where it's just that one chapter is like, oh, it's perfect. And it happens to be the size of a novel, but, you know, never mind that. For those who are kind of new to your writing, can you give us a quick synopsis about Awakenings?
So Awakenings is a story set after basically the governments of the world tried to destroy this asteroid, and they kind of failed. Pieces fell on the planet, and it kind of broke Earth. So now there's these 30 some odd survivors at this university in Michigan trying to eke out an existence, but they're starting to become aware of the fact that there are more things in the world than what most of them were able to see before the world ended. So Awakenings is about them trying to survive and them trying to understand the new world that they're living in as it's still evolving.
That sounds like just you know, that kind of you would call it post-apocalyptic, right? That's the post-apocalyptic to me has such a negative connotation because it usually means kind of very depressing. But it well, not that there's usually post-apocalyptic comedies. Maybe they could be. Anyway, it has that. I love that kind of sense of rebuilding or kind of surviving after the end of the world. So how long have you been working on Awakenings now?
So I wrote the first, I think it's the first 5.5 chapters for NaNoWriMo 2008, actually. 2008? 2008. And just kind of set it in a corner and didn't do anything with it. Occasionally would look at it and say, oh, I should really do something with this, and then would wander off and work on something else. Well, a friend of mine who I used to write fan fiction with said to me, he's like, you know, there's this web fiction thing that's out there, and you should really think about doing that. And I said to myself, well, maybe I could. It was right after I had finished my graduate thesis. I had gone from working 12-hour days on that project to all of a sudden having all of this free time and not knowing what to do with it. So I ended up writing web fiction instead.
So this begs the question, what was your graduate thesis on?
My graduate thesis is the uses of the Arthurian legend under Edward I and Edward III of England, which it's actually available as an ebook now.
I just love that. We could talk for hours about that, but I think that it would probably make Anna kill me when she gets back. So,
probably bore people a lot.
It's so interesting, actually. I know very little about it, but after I read about it on your bio, I was like, wow, I've got to find out more about this. This is interesting. So, anyway, okay, let's leave that aside. So, you mentioned that you were you kind of started off, I guess, in fan fiction. So, what type of fan fiction were you doing?
I was, for a very, very long time, writing Star Wars fan fiction, just tons and tons of Star Wars fan fiction. And then I started playing World of Warcraft and wrote a little bit of fan fiction for that, not nearly as much. But it was actually when I was writing a backstory for a World of Warcraft character that I really started realizing that maybe there was an audience for something more original, if that makes any sense, for something that's not necessarily fan fiction, but something different.
Right. So that was kind of your transition into web fiction, or, you know, other fiction, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Mostly into web fiction, because I've been writing since I was 10 or 13 years old. Hmm.
So do you find, because I think that's one of the big common threads for a lot of web fiction writers, especially, you don't see as many novelists admitting to doing the fan fiction, but the web fiction authors tend to come from fan fiction originally. What do you think are the kind of qualities or the things that fan fiction teaches you that prepares you for web fiction, because it's a really tough world to exist in, and I'm always interested to see what people brought with them.
I think part of the fan fiction background makes you develop a much thicker skin than you ordinarily would have. Just basically writing in this vacuum where no one ever sees your work. Fan fiction basically gives you this forum where you can have people respond to your fiction almost as soon as you've written it. And I find that to be really, it was really helpful to, when I was developing my style, developing how I write. But another factor, that comes to the table when you're talking about people transitioning from writing fan fiction into writing original fiction is that you realize that you have to write that much sharper, and you have to be able to produce something of quality more quickly.
Right, yes. And that's, I think, is one of the things that holds us all together, is this, you know, it's like we're dealing with a terrible, hostile environment, and yet somehow we survive. It's post-apocalyptic writing. That's basically what it is. That's what we do.
If you want an audience, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be good writing if you want an audience. And that, I think, is part of where doing the fan fiction really, really helped me. Because it did force my writing to mature that much more, that much faster.
Yeah, because those people are... people who read fan fiction are ruthless and unforgiving, or, well, can be. Sometimes they're really nice, actually, so I shouldn't say that. That sounds mean. For all you fan fiction readers out there who are listening, I apologize. You're not all mean. I mean, some of you are, obviously, but you probably like that. So now I'm going to switch gears a little bit more. So you have another project, which is Epsilon Broken Stars, Epsilon Book 1 Broken Stars, which is not strictly web fiction, but, you know, a lot of us do the, you know, straight book stuff at the same time. So I just kind of like to hear about that because I like the cover. So, sorry.
Well, I'm glad you like the cover. So Epsilon is a, and I have a friend who has teased me mercilessly for the past 12 years about how I'm never, ever going to finish it because I'm never, ever going to think that it's ready to be finished. But Epsilon Broken Stars actually represents the first part of a much larger story. And the past few months have been just kind of a roller coaster with me trying to decide what I wanted to do with the project. But in essence, it's a story about one character in specific. The whole series is more about a couple of different characters, but it's about a character. His name is Aaron Taylor, and he is the son of basically a bad guy. And it's about him trying to find his place in the universe, trying to learn more about the universe that he's living in, because it's a universe with a lot of secrets, and basically navigate his way through a Cold War that's about to become very, very hot out in the middle, basically out in the border regions between these two powers that are about to really kind of crash headlong into each other.
Cool. So, okay. My next question is, writing web fiction versus writing this, which is, you know, kind of more traditional, writing it and then putting it out. Why are you doing this one not as web fiction?
Part of it is because Awakenings lends itself a lot better to web fiction because it's a different kind of story. Epsilon is more along the lines of your kind of more of a classic science fiction thing, whereas Awakenings is much less mainstream. So it's a question of which has a better audience and what story can be told better in a book format rather than a web fiction format.
So do you, you said Awakenings isn't as mainstream. So is that one of the things, continuing along our endless journey to kind of pigeonhole web fiction, is non kind of mainstream one of the things that you think kind of defines web fiction, or is that just in this one case?
I think that web fiction in general, you can be a bit more adventurous. You can write longer stories because, I mean, let's be honest here. If you are sitting here and you are reading a book and you have no idea where this book is going to end, and the author doesn't even know how long this is going to be or when it's going to end, how likely are you to actually sit down and buy that book and read a book that's like 5 inches thick?
That's very true. Yes. Okay. I see your point. Okay. One more question before we go to the break, which is, your writing tends to be very sci-fi. How long, or okay, I'm guessing that Star Wars has something to do with that, but how long and how much of your brain is taken up with the whole science fiction concept? Because you also have Arthurian legends, which is not really sci-fi. So I'm kind of curious about how your brain is split.
So confession time. Awakenings, and I think I said this on the About page, Awakenings is actually kind of set up to be the prequel to a post-apocalyptic Arthurian story. I have had this incredible fascination with stuff like King Arthur and Robin Hood, all of which I can blame my mother for. But I have had a fascination with these kind of things ever since I was a young teenager. So I find myself returning very often to those kind of stories and those kind of concepts. because of my fascination with it, because I read actually about as much fantasy as I do science fiction. So in that, I'm kind of your classic pigeonholed genre reader and writer. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, science fiction ends up being easier sometimes than fantasy.
So it's actually very much like the kind of boiled down Star Wars concept, which is, you know, science
space
fiction wrapping.
Space opera, science fiction,
yeah. Fantasy. Which,
yeah, kind of. I mean, part of it is, part of the reason that I shy away from writing as much fantasy as I do science fiction is because fantasy, I have a really hard time explaining magic, which is why writing Awakenings can be a challenge sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because when you get right down to it, some of what these characters are doing and some of what they're dealing with is kind of modern day magic. So if I had to genre pigeonhole Awakenings, it would be a post-apocalyptic urban fantasy, I think.
Ooh, you've hit all of the important words right there. That's,
I know,
that's
right?
Excellent. Wow, that's just like, I'm starting to sweat. That's just shocking. So, all right. I could go down the rabbit hole on this, but we'll go down a different rabbit hole after a break. We're going to have a reading. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about why unicorns don't write web fiction, or maybe they shouldn't write web fiction, but this is a very political conversation we're about to get into, so I hope everyone is, you know, just put on the tinfoil hat and be prepared. So we're going to have the reading now, so we'll be back.
Awakenings by Aaron M. Kletsky, read by Jason Strasberg. Day 0, Chapter 1. Ugh. What hit me? I think it was a bookshelf, but I could be wrong. Muscles straining, Carolyn and Jacqueline heaved the metal shelving unit, now bereft of books, off of Davin, who lay sprawled on the library floor, books all around him. Nearby, Rory was picking his way through the wreckage toward the doorway to the stairwell, which stood ajar, a yawning maw looking into a stairwell choked with drifting dust. The building wasn't creaking, nor was there the sound of masonry starting to crack. Maybe that was a good sign. Maybe. It should be a good sign, right? Jacqueline started to pick her way down the row of what had once been the stacks, toward Rory and their way down and out of the building. Goosebumps rose along her bare arms. She wanted out of the building, suddenly silent and eerie as a tomb. How do the stairs look, Rory? Okay, I think. Give me a second. He jerked the door a bit further open, casting a baleful glance toward Jacqueline. This is the last time you ever get me into a library. Ever. She tried to laugh, but it sounded like a bitter croak. Rory hated libraries. Feared them. He'd always said they gave him a bad feeling, made his skin crawl, made him feel like someone was watching him. Marin usually just laughed at him and said he'd probably spent too much time in one in a past life, which usually earned her a dirty look. Jacqueline wasn't sure what to think about that. Then or now. Carolyn had David on his feet now, and was tucked under his arm, studying the towel-headed young man. He looked like his head might still be ringing from the shelves and books falling on him, though his eyes were clear. Carolyn shook her head, looking bewildered, only half visible in the dim and drifting dust. What was that? Really? I don't know. Jacqueline looked back toward the door of the stairwell, illuminated from the skylight above. Rory had pushed the door most of the way open and was standing near the top step of the stairway leading down, on the solid stone and steel landing. Looks okay from here, he called back to the rest. He started down, slowly at first, then a little more quickly as it became clear that the stairwell was in fact stable. Eager to escape as ever. Jacqueline couldn't blame him. She had to admit the idea of being entombed in a giant concrete box wasn't a very appealing prospect. Davin shook his head. Guess there's a reason it won design awards in the 70s. Carolyn shook her head, looking as grim as Jacqueline felt. The three started to slowly make their way down the stairs after Rory, down the single flight to the library's main level. It would have been pitch black but for the windows, most of them broken now, along the outer walls. Dust drifted lazily in the air. Banks of computers were dark. No one was within sight. Guys? A voice called from the far side of the circulation desk. Callan peeked over the edge of it, her gray eyes wide. She must have heard their footsteps in the strange silence that blanketed the world. A voice was almost shaky. I think something really bad just happened. You think? Rory's voice dripped with his usual sarcasm, but even that seemed strained. Jacqueline winced. Something bad really did just happen. She cleared her throat, picking her way toward Kellen. Were you the only one working circ desk today, Kel? Kellen nodded, raking lank tangles of brown curls out of her face as she straightened and climbed over the desk with Jacqueline's help. Drew was down in the archives, I think, though. In the basement. Not anymore. The tall man looked about as tired as any of them had ever seen him. A bruise was forming on his cheekbone, and one arm hung a little more limply than it should have. Wrenched my shoulder, pushing a fish reader out from in front of the door, he explained, slowly working the arm up and around in a circle. It popped sickeningly, and he winced, then worked it around in an arc again. No sound the second time around. Any of you see what happened? Just a flash. Boom! Windows blown out. Kellen frowned. Two flashes. David rubbed his head. I saw two. I was looking at the corner window on the second floor. Sky's red, Rory muttered from near the shattered windows. Come see. The friends crowded close, peering through the shattered window, craning their necks toward the sky. Clouds drifted lazily through the air, but not against blue. The sky was indeed red, deep and angry, streaked dark somewhere high above the normal summer clouds. It looks like blood, Rory mumbled, staring at it. Jacqueline made the sign of the cross on herself, pressing a hand against the silver and gold crucifix she wore around her neck, a gift from her long-ago First Communion. Her heart fluttered. Is this the end of the world? Kellen looked sidelong at her, brow furrowed slightly, and said softly, No. It's the beginning.
Thank you.
That was Tank, Tank, Tank by Mayhem off of the album Torpedo, Torpedo, found at lapfoxtracks.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at WebFiction Radio. Email us at webfictionworld@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Okay, we're back. And that was an excellent reading. I very much enjoyed that reading. When we were on the break, I got an email from Anna, who I guess is listening in, and she said, you suck. So there you go. That's she's the same as always. Golly. All right, so we're going to be talking about why unicorns don't write web fiction, which is kind of the beginning of a big philosophical question about what makes a good web fiction author, because you know, there are a lot of web fiction authors, and there are so many different types. And so what are the common elements? So I'm going to start with the fundamental piece of it, I think, is that, and going back to what you were saying, Aaron, about fan fiction, is I think that web fiction authors are possibly psychologically damaged to the point where they can take obscene amounts of criticism. So what was, I guess, the meanest thing that anyone has ever said to you about your writing, if you recall?
Oh, God, I don't. Because, so, at the same time, we're all very psychologically damaged. I think part of it is because we are so incredibly capable of basically turning around and forgetting when someone says something really mean, especially if it's an uncalled for really mean thing.
Yeah, I think I very much agree with that, because I was trying to think of something that somebody had said to me, and I can't think of anything. It's almost like my memory has been erased and replaced with happy thoughts, which is, it's actually kind of nice, but I know it can't be real. So, I also have that poster board in the back of the closet with all those names written on it with scratches across them, and I must have put it there for some reason. Okay, so what do you think makes a good web fiction author? Big question. I know.
God. Well, first of all, you're not a unicorn because, you know, you can't type with hooves.
That's true.
So
that's so true. Solve the problem.
Ability to meet a deadline, I think, is huge. I mean, because you're sitting here and you have to basically make your update schedule every week. Now, I know people like I think Jim from Legion of Nothing very early on almost never made a deadline. Like, he would write his entry, and then I think his update schedule was he's supposed to update on Tuesdays, but half the time the update would go up on Wednesday. So I think the ability to make sure that you are making that deadline because you do have readers waiting for you is a really important thing when it comes to writing web fiction.
So ability to stick to deadlines. I think that's a pretty good one, because somebody pointed out recently that if you're a web fiction author that doesn't meet your deadlines, you're actually just a novelist who happens to be publishing your chapters online when you're finished with them, which is actually kind of like a bizarre distinction.
It is a bizarre distinction because, I mean, that just means you're running an unscheduled web fiction thing.
Mm-hmm. So actually, we could expand the definition of web fiction to include people who are writing novels and just happen to be posting them online almost accidentally. Actually, oh, no, I shouldn't embarrass them, but there, I knew I know there's one author who I believe they've taken this off, but they were running a WordPress site and they thought that they were putting their chapters as they finished them onto their site, and they thought that it was hidden chapters, and it turned out that they weren't hidden and they were accessible on Google. And I'd actually been reading them, and I said, that was really great. And they were like, how did you know?
How did you see that?
Oh, I hacked into your what? Oh, no. So...
That sounds like an oops.
Well, actually, not really, but that's the funny part. Anyway, if you think you know about technology, you probably are going to make that kind of mistake. It's the people who don't understand technology who will never make that mistake because they just won't trust it in the first place. Here's another thing. Unicorns are you know, they're mythological beasts, and they live for a very long time, of course. So they kind of appreciate the slow build of stuff. And I think, well, the question is, do you think that web fiction tends to, and web fiction authors, you have to kind of get to the point, and if not in each installment, at the very least, regularly. You can't just write a very slow burn sort of thing that takes, 2 months or 2 years to get to any kind of a point. You kind of have to have a whole bunch of mini climaxes along the way, or people kind of tune out. Do you think that might be one of the common threads, or am I overgeneralizing?
I don't think you're overgeneralizing. I think that you can maybe go one or two entries without having a really heavy hitting punch, but because I know I'm guilty of writing kind of quote unquote filler episodes to go into the, because part of my inspiration was reading a bunch of webcomics too. So I mean, and every so often they'll have a filler entry. Well, every so often as a web fiction writer, you'll have a filler entry that really doesn't do as much. It'll do something, but it won't do much. So I think that being able to have some kind of a little important tidbit in each entry, something that'll make people say, oh, I really want to keep reading this, is really important. It's actually like reading any book. But when you're writing a book, it's more forgiving. Because you can have that kind of doldrums chapter, because someone is going to keep reading because they want to know ultimately what happens. With web fiction, I mean, you could have someone read that chapter and be like, oh, okay, well, all right, maybe I'll come back and read this later, and then not come back for 3 or 4 months. And exactly. Then get discouraged because there's so much stuff that they've missed.
So I think to summarize what you just said, novel writers are dull.
Okay. No, that's not what I'm saying.
All right. Well,
I'm saying they have more room for error. How's that?
Oh, okay. Novel writers can be slackers. Yes. Okay. Well, I write a lot of novels, and I think that applies to me. So it's it's fair. okay. So right now, web fiction authors they have to keep a schedule. Somewhat, at least, and they have to be able to deliver punches on a regular basis. Neither of which unicorns are at all good at. Also, unicorns don't have fingers, so they can't type, and they wouldn't even be able to use an iPad. I bet they break the glass and stuff like that. So it's like they're complete failures that way.
Although they can talk, so you could do speech to type.
That's true. Well,
but most of that software is really bad, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, it would be completely okay. Now here's a big question, and this has been kind of leveled against web fiction community in general several times at least. Web fiction authors are not necessarily, how can I put this nicely, not as literate as traditional novelists are, and that we're somehow kind of like the reason we do what we do is because we can't hack it in the real world. And then the question that kind of flows from that is, I have actually read a few web fiction series where the spelling and grammar is not quite perfect. Do we have more of an allowance for just being carried away in the story as opposed to following all of the detailed rules? Or do you think that the rules should apply to all web fiction authors, and so those unicorns with their text to or speech to text should be banned too?
I don't think that we should be allowed to hold ourselves to a lower standard, if that makes any sense. So yeah, unicorns need not apply.
Yes. Okay.
Because, I mean, yeah, some of us might be doing this because, like, my work, or like maybe MCA Hogarth's, did I pronounce her name right?
I think.
Like, her work might be less mainstream, so we're less likely to get picked up by a publisher. Not that that matters in the evolving market anyway. Because that's what I do when I'm not writing web fiction, is I read a lot about self-publishing and the publishing industry and all that good stuff. So I think that we need to keep holding ourselves to that publishable standard.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, yeah, we are going to, web fiction will get an even worse name.
Exactly. Okay, so no unicorns because they can't type, and yeah, okay, that's good. So you have to be a basic level of literate to participate. Here's a, going back to the earlier thing about knowing about the technology. I know there are a lot of authors that, you know, don't understand how to set up WordPress blog, even on WordPress.com. And there are some that could, like, build the code for the site all by themselves and
like
customize
you.
It, which is what I do. Which is why I don't write much anymore. But anyway, do you think that kind of a basic level of comfort with technology is part of the web fiction author profile, or is it? Because, you know, I do know some authors who know nothing about technology and are really, really good at the web fiction writing, but maybe a willingness to learn is a basic tenet of it.
I think a willingness to learn is probably really important. And I think that that it's really important for you to actually be maybe a little bit comfortable with the technology, because, doing it on WordPress, which I do it on WordPress like a lot of people do, because it's easy, is all fine and well and good. But if you're trying to put it up on WordPress and all of a sudden it spits out something that looks, let's be honest, fugly, who's going to want to read something that's fugly? If it makes your eyes bleed when you're trying to read it, no one's going to want to read it.
That's true. But you see, now we get to the kind of the paradox that, because as far as I've heard, unicorns, what is it? They eat something.
Sparkly rainbows.
Sparkly rainbows.
And
yes.
Neon colors.
You see? So maybe unicorns kind of trump us in that respect, that even if they make something that's fugly, just by being them, they make it look nicer because it has a rainbow associated with it.
I don't know. I can just think of this just a rainbow vomiting on a screen, and that would not be pleasant web fiction.
No, that kind of brings me back to GeoCities and stuff like that. So let's just kind of leave that in the past. And okay, so again, unicorns, they continue to be banned from. But you know, it's actually this is important historical background that unicorns actually were at the forefront of web fiction years and years and years ago in the early days of web fiction. They were the ones who actually really promoted it. But sadly, they all started dying out because they were being hunted by this group called the Irish Rovers, who wanted to get rid of all of the unicorns. And it's really sad. So that's an interesting historical tidbit for all of you out there.
So, I didn't know that. That's fascinating.
It's really sad because they had some really great ideas. I mean, they had to have oversized keyboards for their hooves and stuff, but they were, you know, it's really, what's really sad is that last episode, Anna said to me, you have to announce the topic for the next episode. And she had mentioned this to me possibly one or two or 20 times before. And I had put it off. And so in a fit of stupidity, I said, you know, as we're recording, why unicorns don't make good web fiction authors. I had absolutely no idea what I was going to say about it, but I kind of thought, you know, it's in the future. I'll figure it out then. And here we are talking about it. And I've done so much research on unicorns and there's nothing to tie them to web fiction at all. So,
there is something to tie them to, well, to fantasy fiction and to, and to, by extension, into fan fiction.
Ooh, go, go, go. What?
So, another confession time. I was a big D&D player. I've been playing D&D for 11 years. Unicorns are big in D&D. Therefore, if you write something based on D&D, it's fan fiction or it could be fantasy web fiction. You never know because D&D is so flexible.
Yes. So, therefore, unicorns are integral to web fiction.
They're a part of it, but they shouldn't write it.
They shouldn't write it. Well, you know, that's, you know, it's kind of like vampires that tend to be integral to, you know, every kind of publishing. And yeah, they shouldn't write it because they're vampires and they have better things to do with their time. So, excellent. I feel so, okay. I'm so sorry to everyone out there. This is going to be like the shortest episode ever because Anna thinks of all the questions and I'm just sitting here making it up as I go along. So actually I want to go back to what we were talking about at the very beginning. And this is something I've been wanting to do for a while. So, Awakenings, do you have any, we're down the road a little bit, hints, teases.
Oh, are you asking for spoilers?
I don't want a full spoiler. I'm kind of looking for something that spoils and yet makes people confused and desperate to know more. That's what I'm looking for. Do you have anything like that?
Oh, well, yes and no, because I do have there's a big discussion going on right now at the web fiction guide forums right now about do you plan your web fiction or don't you? And I really haven't weighed in on that topic except for to say I have some things kind of planned for down the road, but I try not to plan. But I will admit that I have written the very final scene of Awakenings. If I ever make it there, I have that written. I know it's going to happen. It involves two people riding off into the sunrise.
I'm happy. Okay. That's okay. So you heard it here first. I mean, theoretically, well, you probably haven't heard it anywhere else, so you heard it here first, haha. And so just mark your calendars for some point in the future, because it's coming.
Yeah, far, far, far into the future.
That's the best part about web.
Spawning that goes on and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Awakenings is I spoil things left, right, and sideways because I have two characters in the book who see things in the future that may or may not happen.
Oh. We shouldn't. I don't want to give away absolute spoilers because that's what people read for, right?
Exactly.
It's exactly. Yeah. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But another discussion is going on that sometimes it's good to know the ending because it makes you want to keep reading.
You think? I don't know if, well, I mean, I suppose that's possible, but there's kind of the, well, it, unless the ending was not at all what you thought when you actually get there.
It makes you mad.
Yeah.
I've had books that I have a terrible habit. Sometimes I will read the end of a book before I finish reading the book. Ooh. And there have been books where I've read the ending and it's made me so angry that I have stopped reading the book.
You see, that's exactly what I'm worried about. With you give away the ending and people read it and then they say, no way, I'm not reading this because I already know how it ends. Unless you can get an adequate number of twists along the way that make it okay, but then still you might get upset about it. These are very good. We should have these conversations all the time on the show. And yeah. Why don't I think of these things before we start recording? Anyway, just because I can't spell out loud. Can you kind of give the important URLs to everyone for things to find about you?
So, all right. Well, you can find Awakenings at Awakenings, A-W-A. Hang on, I got to type it.
Same with me.
Okay. I am terrible. Okay, at awakenings.embklitzke.com. You can find my personal site at embklitzke.com. And that's pretty much it for me, finding stuff about me if anyone wants to. Oh, and I'm on Twitter at embkdoc.
Cool. So that's everyone must go and check this stuff out, because now you know how Awakenings is going to end.
Yes,
sort of.
Writing off.
Yes, I mean, you don't really know, but that's kind of good. But you kind of know, so now you have to find out more.
Well, now you have to figure out who are the two people.
That's true. Ooh. Okay. No, sorry. I could have gone off on a tangent, but I'm not going to.
No, it's terrible. I have this huge ensemble cast, and you never know who you're going to be listening to at any given time.
Okay, sorry. All right, I'm better. Thank you very much for joining us this week. For me and Anna, who is gone, and I bet she wishes right now that she hadn't been gone.
She might wish that she hadn't been gone, but... Yeah. I'm sure she's having fun on holiday.
I know. It's so, you know, anyway, it's sad. So make sure you come back next week for Web Fiction World. And I don't know what the topic is. And did I say next week or next time? But next time, come back next time. I don't know what the topic is. I don't know who the guest is. I actually know nothing about next time, but you should come back because it'll probably be a lot more controlled than this conversation was. But I really enjoyed this conversation, so I think it was okay. And yes, so thank you and good evening. I'm done. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You poor thing. She never should have left you alone.
I know.